You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack, I hate this team. I'm so angry right now. You can't beat the Marlins? You can't beat the Marlins? Ever? What is it about the Miami freaking Marlins that owns the Philadelphia Phillies soul? Like, fire Matt Klentak. I'm so dumb with this. I'm so tired of everything. How are you, Jack?
Well, the good thing is that they didn't play yesterday. So
is that what we're going with?
They really, if you think about it, they really only lost, they went two for four.
5-7, Jack. There's no official positions on games not happening with this one. Like, I'm so pissed, man. Like, they gave us 10 of 11, and it's like, oh, they're good. They're a good team. They're not a good team. And I know they're beat up, and we'll get into all the injuries and all that, like, and all that sucks. But, like, and it was the thing that I said the whole along is, like, this bullpen, you can't have a good baseball team. Like, you just can't have a good baseball team if that's your bullpen. You just can't. It will always come back to bite you. This team is just poorly constructed. And when you look at, not just poorly constructed now, but for the future, and it is highlighted when we watch Sixto freaking Sanchez just do his thing against the Phillies. And it's like, oh, awesome. Yup. Of course, that guy's going to be a generational pitcher. Like, sure. Yup. And JT's going to leave after the season. And it's just, it's all bad, Jack. The only good thing we have on the horizon is the day Matt Klentak is walking out those doors with a Wawa bag in his hand.
So it sounds like you're handling it well.
I'm so mad, dude. I'm so mad. I'm annoyed. I'm mad. Philly sports in general sucks right now. And the Phillies are just breaking my heart, man, because they were supposed to be good.
Well, they are good. Like, they're a good baseball team with a terrible bullpen.
They're an okay baseball team. They've got a good lineup. They've got solid starting pitching with some high end guys.
Right.
And they have a historically bad bullpen. I'm sorry that brings down the rest of the team. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can't say they're a good baseball team. Like, they're a 500 baseball team, Jack. They're 500. They're 23-23. They just lost 5-7 to the Marlins. The Marlins are ahead of them. Like, we can't let them off the hook for this. It's not okay.
Well, I don't think it's okay. I just don't know. I don't know what you want. I don't know what you. What else you want me to do? I mean,
can you fire Matt Klentak? Do you have that power?
Like, honestly, like, why do you even let him in the building? Like,
tell me about it, man.
Well, like, seriously, like, what could you possibly be looking for in the next couple of weeks that could, like, I don't know, change your mind at all? Like, I don't know. It's just, yeah, losing to the Marlins sucks, and I think that the thing that bothers me the most, I guess, is it looked like last September, and it looked like the September before that, and it looked like a team that just kind of gave up, and I didn't see any fight from them. You know, this is what I don't want to put it all on Bryce, but, you know, Bryce does set the tone in a way for this team, and he's been kind of acting out a little bit since he's kind of struggled down here at the stretch. And I just worry that the rest of the team's kind of taking on that mentality. And I haven't seen much resiliency. You know, it was nice that they bounced back and smoked them 11-0 in game one on Friday after the just like Thursday night. Like, thank God we didn't do a podcast that night, because I was in a really, really dark place.
I mean, that was just another gut punch. I mean, you and I talked about this where Jack came into work the next day on Friday, and we both had, for some reason, both of us watching that game on Thursday, up 6-3, were like, you know what? We got this. We're going to win this game. For some reason, both of us had that reaction instead of being like, of course they're going to blow it. Of course they're going to blow it. We should know they're going to blow it. I feel like an idiot for not thinking they were going to blow it.
No, that game was a stone win. Like, even with this bullpen, that game was a stone win. And I guess it didn't feel like they lost 5 of 7 because they had the offensive outpourings. And then I guess yesterday, because the Eagles are so bad that it didn't really set in that they lost twice. And then today, just lifeless again. And like, I'm pretty disappointed in Joe Girardi, and you know, he can't do much about the injuries. But what I thought the difference between him and Kapler, and I never bought into the mindset of you know, Kapler was holding back like a 90-plus win baseball team last year, but the effort from last year's Phillies and even 18 was something that was really, really disappointing. And for that to be back under Joe Girardi is surprising and equally as disappointing as last year's September. You know, and I don't – maybe it's the guys on the team. Maybe they don't have the right mix of guys that can kind of, you know, play with their back against the wall. Maybe JT not being out there hurts them. But I don't know. I thought it would be different in September. And the team that I saw these last – 2 days was the exact same team that I saw at the end of September last year.
Yeah, they scored 4 runs over the last 3 games of the series. I mean, they just, like you said, Jack, showed no fight at all, and they win that game 11-0, then come out in the second game of that, and for some reason this team is immune to winning 2 games of a doubleheader. They just and winning games in doubleheaders to begin with. They have been horrendous in 7-inning games.
Are they three and nine?
Is yeah, that the stat? We thought that was going to be such a bonus for this team. And granted, to be fair, I mean, the moment we heard it was a bullpen game, I don't think there's anyone on the planet who's a Phillies fan who didn't think they were going to lose that game. I was shocked they only gave up 5 runs in a bullpen game. And obviously, you know, it was what it was. But come back the next day, win 12-6. You know, the bats get going again. Granted, it was a little closer, and they pull away in the 7th or 8th or whatever it was. But then to show up on Sunday, you're tied 2-2 in the series. You have a chance to win the series that day. If nothing else, you have a chance to continue to string it out to the end and get a chance to win the series again. And they lose both, and they don't show any fight in either. Again, 2 runs the whole day. You know, it's just... They're disappointing, man. It was a really, and I don't know what it is. I mean, the Marlins are not that good. I mean, look, the Marlins are clearly better than a lot of people thought, and it's still a small sample size comparative to a large season, obviously. But, you know, the Marte trade was a good trade. That guy's a great player. But, I mean, they're not as talented as the Phillies. They're just not. And it's just, you know, it's like you said, it's just incredibly disappointing to see this team go down there and just show no fight. And again today, I mean, today especially, you've already lost the series. You're down a half game on the Marlins, and you just show up and show nothing. I mean, they had no life today. None. I know they didn't have Hoskins. I know they didn't have Romuto. It's a beat-up lineup. But, man, they showed no fight at all today.
Yeah, and I wonder if they looked at the injuries, or they had heard about the injuries, and it kind of just dampened their spirits a little bit. They look sad.
Like, yeah, flat, uninterested, like you said before.
They just. I mean, and I know the Marlins aren't as good on paper as the Phillies, but I don't know. Like, that staff's good. They definitely have some. They'd actually have a bullpen. I mean, They've turned Brad Boxberger into a guy that's under has a ERA under two.
But how sad is that? How sad is that? The Marlins, a team that's, I mean, I haven't looked, but I'm sure their payroll is like an eighth of what the Phillies is, if that, something like that, you know. And they're rolling out a bullpen they can get out. I mean, that's embarrassing. This is embarrassing when we see it across baseball. All these teams that have no money to spend and yet somehow find a way to build a competent and in many cases really good major league bullpen. It's embarrassing. It is embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, another indictment of good old Mack Lenzack. But like I was just looking it up. You know, they signed Brandon Kinsler, who hasn't been great for the last couple of years. He's been on some good bullpens, but he hasn't been the main piece of them since like the Twins. I don't know, a couple like 3 years ago. He's turned into a really good pitcher for them. Boxberger, who was terrible for the last 2 or 3 years, because I think I owned him in fantasy 2 years ago, and once you're bad for me in fantasy, you're kind of just always bad. Like, I still haven't forgiven Ian Desmond after I took him like way too high like 5 years ago. But the one that comes back and just drives me nuts is a guy like Yimi Garcia, who they signed for $1 million, like $1.1 million, and he's nasty. And if you looked at his Baseball Savant page and you looked at all the stuff with the advanced numbers on, like, if I can look up on my freaking laptop, if I can look up on Baseball Savant, see where your number, or see where your advanced stats are, your peripherals, watch some video of you, and say this guy could probably get out to the major league bullpen. But again, what is Mack Lenzack doing? I mean, it's $1 million. Like, that's a good return on investment. Meanwhile, he's down in Miami, and he just allowed his first earned run of the season. Like, again, this is you don't have to spend big money on bullpen pieces to have a competent bullpen. David Phelps, who has been shockingly terrible for this team,
horrendous. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's been good for like close to 2 years or something. Like. And he can't get outs, Jack. He gives up a home run every time he pitches, it feels like.
I want to know who in that department keeps calling for cutters away to righties. Like, that just plays right into a right-hander swing path. Like freaking Workman does it. He does it. Tommy Hunter was doing it, and he's since stopped, and he's been pretty good. Like, who the hell's telling these
guys? Well, Tanner's had a couple horrendous outings.
I know. But, dude, I mean, for this bullpen, he's Mariano.
They're all so bad, Jack. How is it they're all so bad? And we traded minor leaguers and gave away better prospects to stay under the luxury tax. And it's just as bad. I mean, this pen isn't better. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I'm so angry about this stupid bullpen that again, if it had just been even slightly below major league average, like, I'm not even asking for a good bullpen, slightly below major league average and not historically awful, and you're 5 wins better right now. Like, it's crazy.
It's definitely crazy. And like, it's again, it shouldn't be that hard to fix. It's literally the only real major hole on the team outside of finding one more starter. It's awful. And I think the thing that hurts the most, not hurts, but like, at least bring up some of the young kids and see if they can help you out. I mean, these guys can't get out at a major league level. Like, they legitimately can't. Brandon Workman I hate him. I straight up hate him. I can't watch him. His mechanics are terrible. I can't take any more bleep 89 mile an hour spinning cutters.
I hate them all. I mean, every time, whether it's Workman, whether it's Heath Embry.
I hate him.
You know what's funny is David Hale's the one getting the most outs, which is, and he's not pitching that often.
He stinks.
Every time one of those guys walked out to the, I don't know what they look like, because every time they walk out from the you know, onto the mound, I just see Matt Klentak's face on their bodies. So I don't even know what their faces look like. I just see
Klentak. Well, don't keep the kids up tonight. I mean, like, everyone listening to this podcast is probably going to start listening around 10, and now you're going to have the vision of Matt Klentak. Like literally, Hector Neris is
if you're not seeing Matt Klentak in your nightmares already, I don't know what to tell you.
Hector Neris is still the best reliever in the team, and for some reason Joe just went away from him for like 10 days. I understand he's struggling.
My guess is he's the new closer.
He is.
I mean, Girardi said that, and then Workman came in that game, and they didn't have a save situation, and they still obviously have not had one, and we haven't seen Neris. So my guess is he moved Neris back to the closer role. That's the way I kind of read that. But I'm with – do you need – dude, anyone you can get you some outs at this point in these spots, you just need to get freaking outs. I mean, roles don't even matter. Just like you said, I mean, I would bring up anybody. It can't be worse. Like, it can't
look at JoJo.
Be worse.
I mean, look at JoJo. I mean, JoJo came up, and he's turned into a good bullpen
JoJo
piece.
And Blake Parker are the two guys I feel most confident when they come in. And, I mean, Hector, I'm starting to get back there. Like, how ridiculous is that?
Well, Blake Parker, to his credit, was a member of the fourth lowest second half bullpen ERA.
It's true. I mean, it's
in
true.
Baseball last year. Great. So, yeah. Meanwhile, another.
Where's
favorite.
Mike Morin when you need him? Huh? Where's that 64 mile per hour curveball? Yeah. Can I get that?
And apparently, Drew Smyly was hitting 96 the other night.
I saw that. Yeah. Sure. Sure.
I can't wait. You know what I can't wait for? I can't
when
wait.
When the Giants beat the Phillies out for the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, that too. That's going to happen. I mean, that's the lock of the century. Buddy. I can't wait for the overcorrection this offseason when they just start throwing money at everyone. I mean, just to try to fix this bullpen. I mean, I love Liam Hendricks, but like,
do you Middleton's a fraud right now to me. Like, I don't know. I don't trust him to do anything. Not even throw around money. Like, they might be cheap. He might just try and rebuild. Who the hell knows what he's gonna do? I don't know. He's such a disaster. Like, it's such an organizational disaster. Like, this is an organizational failure. Like you've talked about so many times. You've talked about how this is the window, right? Like JT Bryce, this is the window. Because look, we all know they have absolutely nothing on the horizon. Like, nothing. They've brought up Bohm. They brought up Howard. Like, they've got little to nothing on the horizon to look forward to. So at this point, it's like, all right, well, lean into this group of guys. And I mean, at this point, like, who the hell knows if JT's going to be back? I don't know. I feel like the Phillies have put themselves in a really bad position. Like, I'm not optimistic about them as an organization right now and moving forward. Like, can they figure this out this offseason by firing Matt Klentak and trying to build around Harper and re-signing Realmuto? Absolutely. That can, of course, happen. But, like, as long as Matt Klentak and John Middleton are the two people – and, you know, I'm not even going to mention Andy McPhail because, you know, who the hell knows? If we haven't seen or heard from him. Who the hell knows what his deal is? But, like, when John Middleton and Matt Klentak are the two guys steering your franchise, I think you're screwed. Like, just on a holistic level, I think you're screwed. So until one of those two things changes, and one of them ain't changing, I'm not going to feel good.
Boy.
I've been pretty consistent on this. Until Klentak's gone, I think this team is – they will never be a true successful Major League Baseball team until Klentak's gone. They just won't.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to do the GM search podcast. I mean, there's only so many things getting me through the day.
I'm more excited for the Klentak got fired pod than I was to do the Bryce we got Bryce pod.
Are you gonna give a bigger yo for that?
Oh, way better. It might be the biggest. It will be the biggest yo, actually.
I mean, because think about it.
It's
think
the
about,
most
like,
important thing. It's no offense to Bryce, who I love. Getting rid of Klentak is way more important.
Yeah, well, because that's building a whole team. It's not just shelling out all kinds of – and first off, that wasn't even Klentak, whatever. But,
yeah, well, it wasn't. You're right.
Yeah. So, listen, we might have a socially distant parade down down Broad Street the day that Klentak's fired. Because, like, you know, you see these little moves that teams are doing and – and it's just infuriating, and he has no idea what to look for. You mentioned this whatever a couple of podcasts ago that you don't think he watches baseball. Like, there's no way he watches baseball. there's just no way. Like, he has no foresight, none of that. Like, there's just nothing. And he's brought in some smart people. He's brought in Ochart. He's been incorporated with Driveline. They've done some things well.
Barber looks, you know, I think it was a good hire.
Yeah, yeah. All this is good stuff. It's just, and I think the foundation's there for a good team, but I can't wait to get someone in there that knows what the hell they're doing. And he's just so not it. He couldn't be more not it.
Well, again, like, just look, if you just want to take this season as a microcosm, he thought they could get by with that bullpen, counted on Sir Anthony, all the mistakes he made along the way, and then upon realizing that not only could they not get by with that bullpen, but, oh, that bullpen is historically bad, he made moves to try and fix that bullpen, and every single one of those moves has been an out-and-out failure so far. So, like, I mean, just this season alone, like, he has done a horrendous job alone in this small sample of what has been a horrendous job as a general manager on the whole.
Yeah, I mean, he traded Pivetta away. I mean, that's grounds for a firing right there. They failed Nick Pivetta, and he's gone. So,
do you think Sixto will thank him in his Hall of Fame speech, say, I'd like to thank Matt Klentak for trading me and giving me that fuel to, you know, to outdo Pedro Martinez and to finally, you know, take my place alongside him as the greater of the two, a two-time Marlins World Series winning, six-time Cy Young Award winner, Sixto Sanchez.
Would you redo the trade?
Yeah, oh, in a second. I did, is that, like, in a heartbeat, in a millisecond. I couldn't drive JT to Florida quick enough. No offense, JT. In a second, I will give him a ride. I will take JT and my Mini Cooper. He can hop on in. It might be a bit of a cramp ride, but we'll drive all the way down to Florida if I could bring Sixto back with me.
Do you know what you talk about?
With JT, I don't think we'd have a lot to talk about.
You don't think so?
I don't think JT and I have too much in common.
You think
just
he's
talk
quiet?
Baseball. I'll just ask baseball questions.
Yeah, well, it seems like you talk about that. But yeah, I mean, like, I wonder if Klentak, well, we're not sure he watched the game yesterday, but I wonder if he was watching the game, if he, like, had a bed sheet over his eyes, like, scared, just seeing what Sixto was doing. I mean, Sixto is just another level. He's like, he's not what most rookie pitchers, I would say.
No, it's like immediate. It's one of those things where, like, you know, when you could just immediately tell someone has it or not. Like, it is immediate with Sixto. You're like, oh, he's different. I get it.
And I didn't even think he had, like, his A stuff.
No, it was his, might have been his worst start since coming up.
super. It's great. I mean, honestly, so we entered into the series, obviously, like, hopeful they wouldn't completely bleed the bed, but it ended up being so much worse. And because not only did they
classic Phillies thing right there.
Not only did they lose, they look lifeless and half the team's hurt. And it's just like, wow, 9-10 to 10-11, and now they've lost 7-11 since then. I think.
I think that's correct. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And now Hoskins is on the IL.
So, yeah. Let's get into those real quick. So Hoskins, JT, it looks like, is day to day with the hip thing. Hopefully he'll be back soon. That's obviously huge. But
now did he get the hip injury driving in your Mini Cooper down to Florida?
It certainly wouldn't help the hip injury.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much, Jack.
He's a big guy.
He's a big guy. Yeah, I don't think it would be a great ride for him. But I'm great company, so I think, you know, he'd enjoy himself. He would come out of that ride and be like, you know what? I like that guy. I got so excited with that, I lost my point. No, Rhys Hoskins, forearm injury. Obviously, you're slightly less worried when you see a forearm injury for a first baseman than if it were, I don't know, your starting pitcher or something. Mm-hmm. But not ideal. On the 10-day injured list, Girardi wouldn't rule him out for the season or anything like that. But, I mean, sure, just take the guy who's been the best hitter on the team for the last month and sit him down. That's great. Awesome.
Well, at least we can stop with the whole do you still believe in Rhys conversation? Do you remember, like the conversation around Rhys is like, he's the worst.
Oh, it got dark.
I mean, it was like there's Don Brown, there was Tommy Joseph.
Well, look, he was really bad. It was way too far, but he was really bad for a while. But yes, it got dark.
Yeah, it was definitely not good. But hey, you know, I am glad Reese is back. You know, because like there's just a special.
He was our guy. We always talked about that.
I know, and it's just a special connection when it's a homegrown guy. Like it just feels cool.
We haven't gotten many of those under this regime. So
yeah, I mean that's why I like Bohm. I mean just Bohm.
We really should have just spent this whole podcast talking about Alec Bohm, and it would be a much happier, positive podcast.
Should we rename the podcast like Bohm Hopes or or something like that? I mean,
it's all on his shoulders.
He's been unjinxable. You know, I thought I could jinx anyone, but he's so good that he's even outlasted that. It's just. You don't see that kind of resolve for most athletes.
Few can withstand Fritz Jinx. I mean, Nick Pivetta is going to flourish in Boston as a result of getting away from it, you know? So
I know.
You're right. See, that's the important thing. When I think about Alec Bohm, I think about, you know, for a 24-year-old to be doing what he's doing with his first taste of the majors and to do it so confidently and passing the eye test so clearly and just to so clearly be such a savant as a hitter and to do it in the clutches of situation and to be unflappable and all, but I should have really thought the biggest point of it all is he has withstood you, which is far more impressive than anything else he has done as a 24-year-old in Major League Baseball.
That's how you know a player special. I mean, that's how you know. I've been squatting on this for a couple.
Oh, buddy, it's always a good lead-in when you do that.
I mean, he's the best offensive player on the team, and I don't care if Harper's hot. I don't care if Realmuto's hot. I don't care if Hoskins is hot. I would take Alec Bohm over every single one of them. I would for this year, next year, next 10 years, give me Bohm. Give me Bohm. He is my kind of hitter.
I think he's definitely the best pure hitter of the group, but I don't think there's any question already.
It's legitimate pop to right field, doesn't strike out, like just consistently barrels up the baseball. And again, some guys just have it in the clutch and some guys don't. He has it. Like, it's just, I always think he's going to come through, and I think pitchers hate pitching to him because he doesn't really have a weakness besides, like, really hard in. Like, he has, like, a little hole in the top right of his swing, but that's just a hard spot to consistently hit. He is so good. And actually, I know I put high hopes on a lot of players, and they never live up to it. I feel like I downplayed how good Alec Bohm was. And I know I threw out Rendon comparisons.
You did.
And I said 280 to 300, 25, 30 home run guy. I might have downplayed it. I don't think I gave Alec Bohm the proper level.
So you're saying Hall of Fame, Jack, is what you're trying
to get
to.
I don't know.
Just say it.
Don't think he'll be a Hall of Famer.
No, I'm kidding.
He seems like a guy that's just going to be good for like 15 years.
Yeah. I think he's the type of player legitimately it feels like he could threaten for a batting title. Like he feels like that type of player. Or, you know, who can be a top 10 MVP type guy. You know, just on his bat alone, the defense is so bad. That's why I'm not saying an MVP winning type guy. But here's
the thing with his defense is that it's gotten slowly better. And with how hard he works, I think he could become at least serviceable there. I don't know if it's ever going to, you're never going to feel great.
He's just
too
big. It just is. It just looks awkward. You know,
it does.
It looks like it's awkward for him.
It does. But I'll bet on the work ethic to kind of at least make him serviceable.
I don't know if physically he'll be able to really do it, but it's possible.
And maybe not for like, you know, 10 years. Like maybe it's like a 2 or 3 year thing. But you know, one of the things that we kind of built this podcast on and always dreamed on was like playoff Nola, and mm-hmm. how it's all we thought about was like getting Aaron Nola in a playoff start. And mm-hmm. believe it or not, still want that to happen because I think he's going to be a monster in the playoffs. It's a shame that we're not really going to be able to talk about his almost no hitter on, what is it, Saturday?
I will say Sunday is shout out to Aaron Nola, who, when asked about his first career quote unquote complete game, said that he was not counting it because it was seven innings. Yeah. Correct answer, Aaron. Well done, now, sir. Appreciate you for that.
Now, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. But how can it be called, how can it be in the book as a complete game, but doesn't count as like a no hitter?
Well, no. Wait, it does count as no hitter.
No, it doesn't.
No way, really? No, it does not.
It does not. They talked about it in the broadcast. They were like,
I thought it did. I didn't realize. And no, it should count. I mean, it should. Everyone should know it was a 7-8 no hitter, and like we understand that. But like, it should count as no hitter if it's a full game. What the hell's that? Like,
literally would not have counted. Even if you threw a no hitter, it technically would not have counted as a no hitter. But we've talked about playoff Nola and how we think that when he gets there, he just seems like a guy that is so calm all the time. Like, we just see him shoving in a playoff scenario. Rally towels going, Citizens Bank Park going crazy. And there's Aaron Nola on his, like, seventh inning. And he's into the seventh. And he's facing, like, the eight-hole hitter and throws a two-seamer on the outside corner, freezes him, goes to the dugout. Big rally by the Phils. They go on a run, right? Like, we both have that vision when waking up in the middle of the night, right?
Sure.
That's, yeah. Like, I can't wait for playoff Alec Bohm. Like, he just...
Oh, he's so in.
Like, he just seems like he's gonna get that backbreaking hit every single time, you know? And by the end, the opposing team fans are gonna be like tweeting all salty and calling sports radio stations like, oh, we can't get Alec Bohm out. Like, figure it out. He's a blank team killer, you know? You know, it's about freaking time we get one of those guys. He's gonna be our Freddie Freeman. You know, let me have a Freddie Freeman.
I love that take.
Let me have a Freddie freaking Freeman.
Freddie
for
Freeman's
once.
So good, man. Freddie Freeman's so good.
Oh, and he's like such a good dude too. It makes it even worse.
It just seems like a good guy. Like, it's just what a monster that guy is. Just dude, such a good hitter. I feel like we never get him out ever, and I know we do, but I feel like we never
Phillies,
get him out.
No, but even when they get him out, it's like you just missed a 450-foot homer. He's the worst. He's the best, but he's the worst. He's like a 6'4" Utley, man. It's like, what is this? What is Freddie Freeman?
I like this. Look, can we have our own Freddie Freeman, please?
Yeah. I mean, we had to go through Rendon and Freeman. I mean, Freeman's been here since what, 06? I mean, Freeman's been on the Braves.
Yeah, and we're gonna have Soto here for a long time. We're gonna have here for a long time.
Can we have our guy? Can we just have one?
Could we? Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Reese thing, though, like in terms of just like hopefully we get JT back. We can't speculate too much. And also, we'll get to Howard in a sec. But the Reese thing, like, I don't know. It just feels like that's a pretty damn big loss for me right now for this team.
Oh, I mean, he's been there.
He's been their guy. Like, he's been like, we've been so excited about this offense, and that's a killer. What do you think about the Spencer Howard injury? There is absolutely no reason to think we're going to see him again this season. I would think you would agree. Are you like me where you're far more worried about next season at this point than just the rest of this season?
Give me one more loss like today, and I'll be begging for Spencer Howard to get back out there. I'll be saying.
No, I mean, though, with the shoulder sickness,
I know,
is a scary
I know,
one, man. I'm
I know,
not.
I
I'm
know.
Not.
Take what I say with a grain of salt. It's just that I really hate watching Vince Velasquez pitch.
I know, man. I know.
Like, if you're telling me it's Vince or like maybe a left-handed Spencer Howard, I'll take left-handed Spence. Like, seriously.
Can we have a new
high hopes rule? That I'm just springing on you now.
Well, please.
Not taking this team seriously till Vince Velasquez no longer is given a key card or like an ability.
Dude, I think that's a fair rule. I guess.
Like if you could, all right, if you could choose, like, all right, no longer allowed to physically walk through the building, Klentak or Velasquez.
I don't need to hear anyone else. It's Klentak. It's Klentak. It's Klentak. It's Klentak. It's Klentak. How about this? I would sign Vinny to a 5-year extension if it meant Klentak was gone.
No,
Get out the door, Matt.
I honestly, I thought about not, I might just, maybe I'll just, no, I won't watch Velasquez starts anymore. I'll tune in when they're down 4-0. Like I'd rather watch the bullpen. I swear I'd rather watch the bullpen. I don't know if I mean that. I don't know if I mean that.
I don't think that, a sentence that has never meaningfully been said by any Phillies fan ever, I'd rather watch the bullpen than anyone, Jack.
I'd rather watch the Eagles offensive line.
Well, it's funny because you and I tweeted very similar things at the same time, but it did feel like at watching that Eagles game fall apart yesterday, it was like, anyone who's been watching the Phillies all season is like, yep, I know this. This feels super familiar. Like, dude, it's just like, yep.
Dude, that's why I like wasn't that mad about the Eagles
game. Me too, Jack. Honestly, like, I should have been so much more mad, but I literally was like, I know this.
I watched this every night.
Every day. This was like, my life.
I honestly felt bad for the people that like only watch the Eagles because like I experienced that on 3 times a week.
Yep.
I mean, the game on Thursday was basically what the Eagles the Washington game yep. was.
And that was like, and we've had like 6 of those this season with the Phillies.
Ugh, dude, whatever. I just,
All right, I don't have too much more. I'm sure you got some notebacks, but I don't really have too much more to say. They got the Mets coming to town, then Toronto after that. I mean, look, it's they're like we talked last time. We talked, we're like, oh, they're definitely a playoff team. They're definitely a playoff team because it really felt like they were definitely a playoff team. Well, guess what? Right now, they're not definitely a playoff team anymore. Like they have to secure it. Like they have to, like they're a playoff team as of this exact moment, but it's not as comfortable as it was before. Like they need to win games, and they got the Mets, they got Toronto. Toronto's a good baseball team. They're going to be a playoff team this year. Like, the Mets are still the Mets who still give the Phillies trouble. I don't know. Where you at?
Well, right now, it's hard, you know, it's hard to fully buy in on a playoff talk because they're so banged up. I mean, if no more Howard, you're banking on, I mean, can the whole Wheeler thing is just insane. I mean,
oh my god, dude. Can we hire someone to put his pants on for him? Is that, can we add that to make it 120 million instead of 118 million and give someone 2 million to be his pant putter on her? What are we doing, Jack?
Well, all I gotta say is this. You can take the player out of the Mets, but he can't take the Mets out of the player.
Well, the Mets just got sold to Steve Cohen, so I'm nervous that might change, my friend.
I am so – I try not to think about Steven Cohen. Like,
No.
Like, billionaires, they've been billionaires for a reason. They don't lose money. So I don't think he's – I think this whole idea that he's going to come in and just buy the whole league and luxury tax be damned is not really going to happen. But I've also watched like 4 seasons of Billions, and he's based off the guy from Billions, so that terrifies me a lot.
And also, look, he's a Mets fan. He's going to be competitive. He's going to want to win. And, oh, by the way, he immediately becomes the richest owner in Major League Baseball. Like, he does have more disposable income than anybody else in the league. Literally anybody else in the league. So, it's the New York Mets. Like, look, if nothing else, they're not going to be worse than the Wilpons, who've run them like a budget store for the last 20 years. Like, yeah, like this is empirically, any way you want to slice it, not a good thing for Philly Smith.
Did he also wrestle at the Haverford School and want to get his bleeping trophy back or die trying? I mean, it literally sounds like you just described.
I actually believe he is a potted plant in the corner.
Yes.
Oh no, he's not. He's no. Not. Okay. No. Sorry. My bad. No. I get confused. No.
But he's a. That's the same BS we were told about Cigar Man. You know, like, oh, he bleeds Philly. He's just like us. He's just like us.
This guy has like 8 billion or 9 billion more than Cigar Man. So 10 billion more. I mean, come on.
Well, he's Cigar like, Man.
He could buy and sell Cigar Man 3 times over.
Well, Cigar Man better pay JT. So or else this whole thing is going to.
Ah, Jack, if JT walks. And they traded Sixto, and JT walks. Like, man, buddy.
I, this is not meant to be taken with a grain of salt. This is the God's honest truth. It would be the equivalent or worse than letting Reggie White leave. Like, it would be.
How about not even offering him a contract? Because that's what they did with Reggie White.
Well, let's not do that again. But, but I mean, it not only like, you didn't have to lose a future Hall of Famer just to move on from Reggie White. Like, to lose JT, the best catcher in baseball, who is finally starting to hit the ball again, coupled with Sixto Sanchez, who, again, is a generational talent. Like, it could realistically be the best pitcher in baseball for the next 10 years.
Like, again, I mean, like, his ceiling is high-level Hall of Famer. Like, inner circle Hall of Famer. That's his ceiling. Like, I mean, just reality.
Imagine how much fun we'd be having if Sixto was still here.
Oh, dude, I can't do it. I've already thought about it. Especially, like, when you – and look, again, I'm not – the shoulder worries me. But, like, I'm not worried about Spencer Howard not looking as good as we hoped he would this year because, you know, he's young and it takes – you know, see it. We've talked about it on this pod. Like, many guys come up and struggle and then figure it out. But, like, when you look at what's happening with Sixto and then compare it to Howard – it really does just add like another little twist at the knife at the end there that, yeah, it's, well, it's not fun.
And I was thinking about this week, like I was going back and thinking about the trade, like how did they get so strong armed into having to put Sixto in the deal? Like who was trading for JT Realmuto in March that was like, that was going to beat an offer of Spencer Howard and Jorge Alfaro.
Yeah. Matt Klentak.
Yeah, he's so dumb. Like he's just so bad. The only thing he's good at is knowing if players have a market in free agency or not, and then being able to sign them to pretty good deals. Like that's pretty much all he's good at. But like, I don't understand how like Sixto had to be in the deal. Like, I don't, no one was making the trade. No one was trading for JT last year. Those talks were pretty much dead. And then the Phillies swooped in and like, you were bidding, you're bidding against yourself. You could have just said, okay, Spencer Howard and Alfaro, go out there and beat it. And when you can't, come back to the table.
Oh, buddy. It's just,
things are great.
That's great, man. What do you got in your note bag? I'm tired of talking about the Phillies, Jack. That's where
I don't know if anyone wants to hear this stuff, but I have a lot of it.
Lay it on me, buddy.
I hate Garrett Cooper. I think I have an irrational hatred for Garrett Cooper. It's not that he killed them this weekend. It's like he's such a goober. And he complains about every single pitch. It's like a ball will be down the middle, and he'll like look back at the umpire and be like, "Oh, where was that blue?" You know, Garrett Cooper. Like, first off, you suck, and I have an irrational hatred for him. He's a stone cold goober. Pedro Martinez. I have no more. Like,
I thought we were gonna. Like, yeah.
No, but I no longer recognize him. As a member of the 2009 Phillies after his tweet yesterday. Hideki Matsui still owns him, but whatever. Mm. But who would you rather make a start, Blake Parker or Vince Velasquez?
Oh, Blake Parker. I mean, it's it's not even a question.
It's not? I mean, it's not a question. He's locked. He's straight up locked down.
He's not. Blake Parker just gets out.
Started the year on Sunday.
Sure.
There's two cycle chances over the weekend, and I thought
about you during both. Especially Kutch would have been such a fun one,
yeah,
to have in the record books forever. But I know, so for those who don't know, is it fair to say like your number one irrational thing that you hate in Phillydom is that David Bell is the last Philly with the cycle? Like, because there's no reason to really hate it as much as you do, but like it actually bothers you.
I hated David Bell. I hated David Bell. David Bell was so bad. He looked angry that he had to put on a uniform every single night. The guy was a stone cold loser. And the fact that he is the last Philly to hit for the cycle, which happened in 2004, it's like they want to keep it alive just to drive me nuts. I want David Bell's name eradicated from the record books. I don't even want to remember the David Bell era. He was the worst. And the fact that his little footprint, when he was here for like 2 years, is still attached to this organization is so annoying. Just can someone hit for the freaking cycle? So like, the only thing that would have been worse than David freaking Bell leading this team, or being the last Philly to hit for the cycle, is if like Wes Helms was the last Philly to hit for the cycle. My two least favorite Phillies by far, they both sucked. And can just someone hit for the cycle? I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, okay. Irrational. I like it.
Yeah, it's the worst.
My Siri agreed with it. It's like, I'm mad about this too.
Should be. Ronald Torres is the first Philly to wear number 74 since?
Oh, man. No idea.
Ugier Pena.
Did he wear 74? Wow.
Yeah.
All right, sure. Cool. I like that. That's good stuff.
Is there any chance that this...
You're really fulfilling the prophecy where you said no one wants to hear these. You're really bringing that home.
Is there any chance of this little hip injury and maybe the injury at the end of last year getting JT for cheaper?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. No. I hate using Hector Neris today. You know, you have 11 games in 8 days, and we're using
brutal.
Yeah, I mean, Girardi, like, seriously, like, I feel like I've seen, I don't know if this is true or not, but I feel like I've seen a combination of Workman, Hunter, Neris,
I feel like I only see Embry. The same guys.
Yeah, every single night.
And like, I hate all of them. It's like, it is a form of torture. Every night. Friggin' Embry on my TV every night. I'm like, this effing guy. And I know exactly what the hell he's going to do every time I see him. Yeah. Yeah, Jack. Same guy.
Every night.
Oh, man.
Every night it's one of those guys. And my final thing. Connor Brogdon, man, was hit 97 with a changeup. I envision our next Madsen. So,
well, I'm shocked Klintak didn't trade him away too.
Seepel could be up starting for this team if they didn't trade him. Uh-huh. I mean, in all seriousness, like
Seriousness, I'd love to see Addison Russ in this bullpen too. In all seriousness, like,
well,
you know, Klintak sucks, man. That guy sucks. He sucks at his job. He sucks so hard. And we're the ones who have to freaking pay the... Damn it, man. Anyway, you got anything else?
As always, there are some high hops.
High hops sounds like a very ridiculous name right now, doesn't it?
High hops is available to watch the remainder of these games of the 7-seed Philadelphia
Phillies.
You're
gonna need it. You're gonna need it.
That's the official slogan of it, actually. High hopes, high hops. The official beer of the High Hopes podcast. You're gonna need it.
I thought you were saying the official High Hops, the official beer of the 7th place Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, dude, you know what I can't wait for? The postseason press conference where McPhail says this is the quickest turnaround in Major League Baseball history.
Stop. Ah! Oh, God. I hate those guys, Jack. I hate them.
Oh, man. I think this is my favorite podcast episode by you. I think this is your best performance.
Yeah, you think so? It's my best work.
Yeah. Yep.
But I'm happy I can make it. At least I made someone happy tonight, Jack.
Ah, you just laughed to stop yourself from crying.
That's exactly where I'm at, man. Oh, all right, you got anything else?
No, sorry. The take mail bag is done on Connor Brogdon.
I think it was a good decision to end it. all right, in all seriousness, I will say that I love the Hypes listeners.
Yeah, let's get serious.
And I appreciate them, and I appreciate them being here with us through this when Matt Klentak and the people in charge don't make it easy. So thank you for that.
You know, I feel like, you know, I don't often make fun of your age, but I just can envision.
Are we done yet? Is this done yet?
Can't you just envision James, like, sitting on a porch in a rocking chair, like, doing, Klentak! Klentak! Again! Damn it! Oh, fun times.
He's Fritz. I'm Seltzer. We'll see you later.